if today's words aren't strong enough for you, over the next few weeks, Jesus' words are just going to get harder and more pointed from Mark's gospel. By the time we finish hearing this section of the gospel, we should all feel a little bit uncomfortable. As Jesus predicts his death and tries to explain what is to come, he also raises the stakes about what it means to be a disciple. The 12 have had a very specific picture in mind about who Jesus is and what it will mean for them that they are following this important one. Jesus will continue to dismantle their misconceptions, but it doesn't mean that they aren't going to try to hold to their old imagery as well. Even with everything spoken, even with everything done, they still want a king like David. Want the power that goes with serving such a king. But again, we are asked the question, what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Like so many pursuits in life, there's at least two camps that you could fall into. Either you can hold to the fact that we follow Jesus as a badge of honor in front of those who don't. Following Jesus will mean power and prestige. Or you might see what it means to follow Jesus and the challenges that lie ahead, so you aren't sure whether you want to even try, because following Jesus just may lead to your death. But the 12 seem to be taking the first path. They see themselves as the true followers of Jesus, the ones who have received all the power, and I think they are still hoping that they will also get all of the glory. If you remember back to last week, the disciples were arguing about who is the greatest among them. Putting a child in their midst, one who had little value in Jesus' society, Jesus tells them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The disciples were trying to set up a ranking system much like we do all of the time, and Jesus is having none of it. So today we hear that someone is casting out demons in Jesus' name, and the disciples want Jesus to stop him. Just a bit of context for a moment, it was earlier in chapter 9 that the disciples were brought a boy with an unclean spirit, but they were unable to cast that unclean spirit out of the boy. Since then, they've heard another prediction about Jesus' death. They've argued about who's the greatest, and then this guy shows up doing exactly what they could not do. So they complain to Jesus to make this outsider, this unranked one, stop. What follows is yet again an indictment of their ranking system. Jesus tells them, "Whoever is not against us is for us. And whoever gives a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose reward. It would seem that with Jesus there is no ranking. The determination instead is about who is supporting this ministry, who bears the name of Jesus, and who is against this ministry. This one with a cup of water is not identified as bearing the name of Christ, but simply by offering a cup of water to one who does bear the name shows that they are for Jesus and his ministry. Casting out demons seems like a pretty powerful act. Giving a cup of water seems to be a very humble act. And yet Jesus says that each share in their importance. Jesus wants his disciples to know that they will need all the support they can get as this ministry moves forward. Mark's gospel continues with what some call a glass of water to the face, a slap upside the head, a call to wake up. What Jesus says next is meant to shock us into a new reality, because the temptation to sin is all around us. The temptation to value ourselves ahead of another is with us. The want to claim power is within us. All of these things can separate us from God, can take us from welcoming a little one in Jesus' name to pushing a little one aside in our own name. These things can cause us to throw obstacles, stumbling blocks before others, because we do not want them to claim their place among us. And so we too may just cry out, Jesus, stop this man from casting out demons in your name. I wish I could tell you that we learned the lesson that Jesus was teaching the disciples. I wish I could tell you that we have somehow moved past the placing of stumbling blocks before others who are trying to follow. Like the disciples, we don't always lesson. We still divide and rank and separate one group from another, when the only separation that is happening is us from God. Remember that one definition of sin is simply the separation from God. So Jesus is trying to tell us that we need to give up the ranking systems, that we need to stop throwing stumbling blocks in front of others and ourselves, that we need to see that whoever is in Jesus' name, or even one who helps someone who is in Jesus' name, is our ally and not our enemy. Our very lives are at stake when we turn to our own power, when we put our needs ahead of others, when we turn in on ourselves, thinking we are defending what is ours. We are wading into deep water with a large millstone around our neck. And it's the next wave that may be the one that causes us to lose our footing, and the millstone will pull us under. When we use our hands to gather what we presume is ours safely to our chest, when we use our feet to walk away from someone else who is in need, when we turn a blind eye to the pain and suffering around us, we are separating ourselves from the discipleship we are being called to by God. It's in these moments that we try to deny that God has even put a claim on us. Jesus wants his disciples to know that they have been set free from these traps. As disciples, as baptized children of God, as beloved ones of God, God has put God's claim on each one of us. We have been given Jesus' name. So what happens next is our response from knowing about this claim. How do we live out our belovedness, our identity as God's children? Jesus warned it this way earlier in Mark's gospel: for what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? What good is all the wealth or power in the world if it leaves us separated from God? As Jesus is still teaching all of this, a child is still sitting on his knee, the child spoken of last week. See, it's the child that we are called to be like, not immature, but unassuming in some ways. As Jesus said earlier, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be a disciple, then get ready to extend a cup of water. want to follow Jesus, if you want to be a disciple, as we will learn from John's gospel, get ready to wash dirt-covered feet. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be a disciple, you will need to give up whatever thoughts you had about what this means and who you follow. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be a disciple, then be ready to give up whatever power you deserve for the claim that Jesus puts on you. In our baptism, we believe that the old Adam within us is drowned. Or to hear it in Mark's term, for everyone will be salted with fire. Fire is used to burn away the impurities, to leave you with only the thing you are looking for, substance. In our baptism, we are marked with the cross of Christ forever. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? And what we know is that salt can't lose its saltiness because it's a mineral. To lose its saltiness would mean it has to become something else. God claims us as God's children. Jesus claims us as his disciples. We cannot lose that identity because we cannot become something else. We cannot remove our identity as children of God. We cannot remove the fact that we are disciples in the world. So we hear the final words, have salt in yourselves. Up the rankings and the scorekeeping. Stop laying traps for others and for yourself that may cause you to stumble. Remember a moment when those things didn't matter and you could live with the innocence of a child. Remember a moment when you lived dependent on another to care for you and provide for you because you were a child. Remember a moment, the innocence of a child, when a child comes to you because you are sad and all they want to do is give you a hug to make you feel better. Remember the innocence that comes being a child. Remember, because as a child of God, we are all children with a place in God.